You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning. It's July 11th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the other different platforms out there, thanks for starting the day and ending the work week right here. Let me start with this question for you. You ever feel like you take your citizenship for granted? I mean, for most of you, it just happened. You were born, and you are a citizen of the United States of America, and by and large, it cannot ever be taken away from you. Can you imagine being stateless with no country that officially wants you, no country that officially recognizes you? That sounds awful. Now imagine it happens to you as a baby, and because Donald Trump says so. We're going to talk about the topic of birthright citizenship and whether a baby should have to be stateless because the man baby in the White House doesn't want to follow the Constitution. I don't even know how this is still a thing, but apparently it is. So we're going to be talking about that today. Also, child care providers and parents will be gathering at the state capitol this morning to rally and to outline the next steps needed to address the crisis of affordable child care. They say what was passed in last week's state budget is entirely inadequate to prevent continued closures, which will give parents fewer options and make the state's labor shortage worse. Of course, we'll have our Week in Review panel, and among the topics, I know that one that's sticking in their craw. Could we please get could we get news sites to stop playing dumb with question headlines like, "Is Donald Trump violating the Constitution?" You're a reporter. Answer the question in the headline. Trump is violating the Constitution, or whatever the case may be. But this whole notion of asking a question so that you have to read it, you know, turning it into clickbait, is not information. So I'm sure they'll have to vent about that. We'll talk to Mike Clemens about the Milwaukee Brewers and a season that has gone from the potentially mediocre to the unexpectedly exciting in just a few short weeks. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly will report from the nation's capital as some OBGYNs gather in Washington, D.C. to talk about the nation's healthcare system, and she'll give us a sense of what they are discussing out there. Oh, hey, it's Free Ticket Friday as well, so you can get ready to text us that keyword using the Civic Media app. And you can also leave us a voice note on the app, or you can put something in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube, or you can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. From Brittany Merlot, heavy rain and flash flooding are a risk across the state today. The humidity has really ramped up, so today's statewide forecast is muggy, with scattered showers and storms, especially south. Highs today in the upper 70s up north, mid-80s south, and the winds will be southeast to south around 10 miles an hour. For tonight, showers and storms are expected. Some could be strong. Lows tonight in the mid to upper 60s and a southeast wind around 5 miles an hour. That's your statewide forecast from Brittany Merlot, and we will get much more from her about what the weekend has planned for us weather-wise, coming up right after the 7 o'clock news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's bring in now from Madison Studio A2, one Parker Olson, because two would be too many. He's got the Mallard shirt on. He is ready for the weekend. How are we doing?
Doing pretty good. I'm having conflicted thoughts about how yesterday the Mallards got rained out, mm-hmm. So which means I have to work a doubleheader today.
Oh, no.
So, not thrilled about that, but, you know.
What time is the first game then today?
First pitch of the first game, I believe, is at 4. So we got
You got a lot of baseball ahead today.
Yeah, they do shorten it, though, to 7 innings, which is very nice.
Okay. Do they then as well, is it like, you know, do they have to empty the stadium out first and then get today's ticket holders to come in?
I don't remember. Usually they don't do that. Usually I think you can go to both games, but I'm not sure. I would have to look. That's not my job. I work a camera.
But besides working at a game, have you ever like attended a baseball doubleheader?
Mallards
or otherwise, Mallards or anything.
Whitewater, I have, because they only play doubleheaders basically in college. Okay,
I'm about to say something that people are not going to like. Well, baseball purists are not going to like. I love baseball. I love, and people are going to go, well, maybe you don't so much. I went to one Brewers doubleheader, you know, intentionally, like, ooh, two baseball games for one ticket. I got to say, by the end of that 7+ hours, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go home now. That was a bit much. Now, that was many, many years ago when you had many more doubleheaders back then in Major League Baseball. Now you really only have them as makeup games. True. And I kind of see why. And again, there was no pitch clock back then. You know, games were regularly 3.25, 3.5 hours. And then there's a long gap between the games. And yeah, so what it's kind of the, yes, you can get too much of a good thing. You know, we're going to leave you alone in the candy shop. And by the time it's all said and done, you're going to go, I don't want the goo goo clusters anymore. I've got a tummy ache.
Yeah.
That was me with the double headers. So unless it's a makeup game, and then you got to do it. Speaking of eating too much, it was really fun to be at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair yesterday with Todd Alba, sampling some of the fair food, having my big old glass of lemonade, the second one, because I spilled the first one.
I saw the first one went down, yeah.
And Todd's sister, God bless her. I mean, she just grabs the mop bucket and everything. She knows that you know, the show must go on. So while Todd and I are doing radio, she's right behind us like Carol Burnett, you know, with the mop bucket, just taking care of my mess with the spilled lemonade. And so we went out to dinner after that and had a lovely time over here on the lake. It wasn't quite, the weather was just a little too dicey. Like, you know, if you take out the boat.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're going to get rained on. So, of course, we sat outside for dinner, and it was perfect.
Yep.
The weather, you know, the sun came out, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, guys, you know, but I know full well how this works.
That
know?
Seems right. What was the best thing you had at the state fair, Northern Wisconsin?
Well, I always have this tradition. I think I've mentioned it before. It's a foot-long hot dog, you know, with onions. Okay. And it's something that started when I was a kid, and I don't know exactly how it started. I'm pretty sure it went like this. My grandma, Grandma Pingle, used to go to the fair with me. We both loved it, so we would just go, the two of us, and go early in the morning. And I don't know. I sense how it started was me going, Grandma, I'm hungry. Grandma, I'm hungry. Because that's why I was a nonstop eater. Like, Grandma, I'm hungry.
Fair.
And the only thing that was open at that point was, you know, a hot dog stand. But it just became tradition after that when you walk into a fair, especially if it's in the morning, you get yourself a foot-long hot dog with some onions, and that's what I had yesterday, too. Tradition.
I thought there was going to be a joke in there about how you kept asking about getting food because you were so hungry and she got so tired of you. She was like, all right, let's get you a foot-long hot dog, then you won't be hungry.
That shuts you up. It did shut me up. I mean, again, foot-long, it's like, well, he can't talk. He's eating. So there might have been some method to her madness.
There you go.
God bless her. You know. So anyway, we had a really nice time despite the rain. Rained for a time there, but you know, then we got to go around the grounds, and we will be doing all of that again today. Todd Alba will have his show live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls from 2 to 4. We're in one of the exhibit buildings, so come on in and see us. We're in one of the buildings. We're right inside the door. Can't miss us, and we'd love to have you stop by and say hello. I believe our music station, 105.7 CFW, has a ticket drawing, has a ticket giveaway that you can sign up for, tickets to Foreigner. They're playing tomorrow. Florida is playing tonight. So come on out and see us at the fair if you get a chance.
Very nice.
Have you Have you noticed, let's see, Tony asks if I will be providing the singing today.
You're not topping the barbershop.
No, that barbershop quartet that performed on Todd's show yesterday, I mean, that was...
They were awesome.
They were very impressive. Yes, exactly. And Tony asked, are the Republicans going to pop over today? Because again, it's a building full of exhibits. And one of the exhibits right behind Todd is the Republican Party.
I spotted that.
Chippewa and Eau Claire counties. Yeah. And, you know, just a little bit further down the way is the Democratic Party. And they're not getting nearly the publicity that they could. But everybody's walking all over the place. And we did say the offer is open if Derek Van Orden happens to be visiting the Republican booth there. I mean,
he doesn't go to his own district.
We'll tell you. Exactly, right? So I'm like, we can't even, you know, tap a keg to lure him, you know, like bait or something. I don't expect that we will see him. But we'll see. You never know during Todd's show. Anything is possible.
It's very true.
Have you noticed the shorter days already?
I have. I was thinking this morning as I was driving in, and I don't know if it's just because it's cloudy and muggy and whatever, but yeah. I couldn't see the sun hardly at all. I couldn't believe
it. So I looked at the stats here, and 30 days ago from right now, 30 days ago was our earliest sunrise, 5:18 in the morning.
Okay.
The sun now rises at 5:30. Oh, my gosh. It's terrible.
I'm way in work before then.
And the sunset last week was the latest sunset at 8:56 here in the Chippewa Valley, and it's now 8:51. So that math tells me we've already lost around 15 minutes of daylight. I mean, I may as well put up the Christmas tree. You know, summer's over.
The sun should be setting at
4 p.m. in no time whatsoever, you know. Yeah. That always gets me when people are like, oh, you know, summer's half over. So no, we got all of July left. We got all of August. Sometimes we get, you know, summer weather stretching into September. We will be fine.
That's true.
We'll live, you know.
Yeah. Hey.
The Brewers were off yesterday. They play the Washington Nationals tonight to open up a 3-game homestand. And then that's it. It's time for the All-Star break next week. And then the Brewers will be back in action next Friday night in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. But while we're talking about the Brewers here and the Nationals, how about we try to make you a winner of some tickets? Yeah, it's Free Ticket Friday. Your chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets. All you need to do is listen for our keyword and use that Civic Media app to text it to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m., and you'll be entered in this statewide contest for 4 tickets to Sunday afternoon's game versus the Washington Nationals, okay? So if you are in a position where you can go to Sunday afternoon's game at American Family Field, Brewers and Nationals, and you want 4 great seats, you want to get in the running for these tickets. Great tickets. There, we do a random drawing statewide from the entries, and this hour's keyword using the Civic Media app is ball, B-A-L-L. And one winner will get a 4-pack of club-level seats. So again, download that Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find a station, use the text button, enter the keyword ball to be entered, and don't forget to listen to Jane and Greg, and then Tom Hartman, and then Todd Alba from the Fair, and Maggie Dawn, because they will all have chances for you to win on Free Ticket Friday. All right, we'll go through this thing about birthright citizenship in a court case, and again ask, like Jane and Greg do, how is this a thing? From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back on this Friday morning. Again, as always, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our newsletters, including the Sunday morning one that I put together, wrapping up the week's political news. We also have our Monday through Friday newsletter, which today includes some information about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Also, a link to an article we did on various informative and fun factory tours in Wisconsin. You can't do that just anywhere. You can't just walk into a place and go, hey, I want to see what you do. I want to see what you make here. Other places are much more welcoming about those kinds of things, and the best ones are outlined in this article, along with a story about a national list of the most scenic destinations in Wisconsin. It's the most scenic destinations in the U.S., broken down by state. And so our article tells you about the seven most scenic destinations in Wisconsin. And remember, when we talk about scenic destinations, we're talking about the view. Does not necessarily mean the amenities. I have been to places where the view is spectacular. Good luck finding a bathroom, you know, or a hot dog, you know, or anything of sustenance or substance. But the view is outstanding. So this is just about the scenic destinations. You might have to pack a picnic basket, but you're going to want to see these places across the state. Again, that's in our newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, it's important for you to know that Todd Alba is not only at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair today, he is getting set to go road tripping next week with Jane Matinere. They are hitting the road with stops in Oshkosh and Butternut and Hayward. And so Jane and Greg and Todd are going to be sharing stories about what makes Wisconsin great. So you're going to want to tag along for that. So be listening next week. I was listening to Todd talk over dinner about the planning that's involved in all of this, and it's going to be great. Some wonderful destinations. So check that out all next week, Matinere on Air and the Todd Alba Show. Well, one of the news stories that we're following this week, along with the aftermath of, you know, the state budget bill and the Trump tax spending boondoggle, is the ongoing effort by the Trump administration to pretend the Constitution doesn't exist when it comes to the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship. And at one point, the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to give Trump a bit of a victory when it came to one particular case, saying that federal judges, federal district judges, could not put nationwide injunctions on executive orders, that the judge's ruling only applies in that particular federal district, which sounds silly to me because a federal district is not a state. You know, it is part of the federal judiciary. But be that as it may, the conservative justices said, nope, can't have a national injunction unless it's a class action lawsuit. If it's people, not just one person filing this suit, but if it's on behalf of like a national population of people, you know, then that can proceed. So a federal judge in New Hampshire ruled yesterday, blocked the Trump administration from enforcing its executive order ending birthright citizenship by certifying the current lawsuit as a class action, and said that his decision applies nationwide to babies who would have been subject to the executive order, which includes the children of undocumented parents and those born to academics in the United States on student visas. The Trump administration, here's the exact line from the New York Times article. The Trump administration has fought to challenge the longstanding law laid out in the Constitution that people born in the United States are automatically citizens regardless of their parents' immigration status. Let me read that first part again. The Trump administration has fought to challenge the longstanding law laid out in the Constitution, dot, dot, dot. How is this still? How can you just say he's fought to challenge the law laid out in the Constitution? You may as well say Trump has filed this lawsuit against the laws of gravity. Would we both sides that thing? Would we say, well, you know, Trump's got some good points to make about gravity. Maybe it's not a real thing. No, it's the law of gravity. It's there for a reason. And the same goes for the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is in the Constitution. And there is no valid legal argument that has been made. And even the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in kicking this thing back to federal court, did not rule on the merits of birthright citizenship. It was just about the extent of a federal judge's abilities to impose injunctions on executive orders. Well, now, with it being a class action lawsuit, this is now a national case that will again eventually work its way back to the Supreme Court. And that, to me, is truly going to be the test of just how much we have politicians in justices' robes on the U.S. Supreme Court. If they are willing to rule against this thing that's in the Constitution. When those justices threw out Roe v. Wade and the abortion protections inside of it, it was because they said that an earlier Supreme Court looked at the language in the Constitution and said the language that's in there creates a right to privacy, and that includes the privacy of women to make their own healthcare decisions. This Supreme Court said, well, the right to privacy is not explicitly said in the Constitution. They're inferring it, and we reject that. But this is a different case. These are the actual words in the Constitution. And if this U.S. Supreme Court eventually overturns birthright citizenship and turns babies born in America into stateless American children who are American by birth, but not American by citizenship, not officially recognized by the government of the country they were born in, and have no other country that recognizes them, we will have truly sunk into a dark place in this country. And we'll monitor this as we go along. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil about some of the headlines of the week as well, birthright citizenship and more, live from Lake Wissota after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We're back on this Friday morning, which means it's time to talk to Courier Newsroom National Political Editor Kia Vakil. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
Good. Did you have a quiet 4th of July break out there in LA?
I really did. We had a picnic with some friends, and then I watched some soccer and went to another friend's birthday. You know, studiously avoided fireworks, and otherwise just kind of hung out and tried to rest and recuperate from the past 6 months of chaos.
Oh, yeah, that's putting it mildly. And I already know you don't pay a lot of attention to sports out there in L.A., but with the Brewers having just swept three from the Dodgers and, you know, not having the Dodgers have not been having a great week. I don't know how much that carries over into L.A. at large because it's so large, but the Dodger fan base is not tiny.
No, LA is huge, but the Dodgers are, I would say, like the most, they have the like most significant fandom and the most like working class, middle class fandom. So, yeah, when they're struggling, I think, you know, there's baseball's 162 games. So it's like a 3-game loss, a losing streak is not the end of the world. But yeah, they sell out every game. Their fans care deeply. I'm sure there are a lot of fans who are frustrated.
Oh, with that much payroll overall and then that much payroll just on the injured list, yeah. I can totally understand that. All right, let's get into some of the stories of the week. One of the more recent ones deals with birthright citizenship. How is this a thing? But it is. And so on Thursday, a U.S. district judge kind of did the only thing you can do after where we are in this process, and that's create a class action status for people that want to challenge the Trump administration's effort to try to say that birthright citizenship, it might be in the Constitution, but they didn't really mean it.
Yeah. I mean, after the Supreme Court ruling that sort of blocked nationwide injunctions, the justices left an opening for, you know, another way to oppose Trump's order, which is to file lawsuits as class actions. That's what happened. And this judge essentially certified that, creating a way to create another injunction on Trump's order, essentially. And, you know, Trump, we know birthright citizenship is guaranteed in the Constitution. And so we know that on the merits, this is so blatantly unconstitutional that it's shocking that it's even gotten this far. But, you know, we have a judiciary that was primarily appointed, or at least plurality, by Donald Trump. And so there's a lot of far-right justices. But, you know, as of now, that order is on hold. I think they left some time for appeals and other filings. But yeah, it's a big deal. It creates a pathway for a way to block it, hopefully permanently. But, you know, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. There's going to be a dispute. I would not be remotely surprised if this ultimately winds up back before the Supreme Court. You know, they didn't rule on the merits of it. But I think that's probably in our future.
Oh, no doubt there. And now it's interesting that the district judge said his decision applies nationwide to babies who would have been subject to the executive order, in part because, as the ACLU says, under the terms of Trump's order, people born to parents in the country unlawfully risk being rendered effectively stateless, which that's absolutely common sense. If your parents are undocumented here in the United States, but you're born here in the United States and you've never been in the country where your parents came here from, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not a citizen of that country either. So again, yep. I say, not to you, but to the, how is this a thing? Why are we talking about this? And yet, like you said, it's going to be in courts for a while yet.
Yeah. And I think like, just the concept of being like being stateless is something that I think no one probably thinks about in their day-to-day life. Like no. If you're, you know, born in the US, you're a citizen of the US. You never like we take a lot for granted with that, you know, but like let's say you're born in Brazil or Denmark or Mexico or South Africa, any country, like you have a state. This would essentially create a stateless, like a minority, extreme minority of people who would have nowhere to call home, would have no real rights, would have no citizenship. Where do they go? And if you're saying, I don't care, they just can't be here, that's not an acceptable answer. These are human beings. And, you know, I think the Trump administration's entire immigration agenda is particularly cruel and evil. But this is so beyond the pale because they were born here. They don't have another state to go to. Like, obviously, I don't think deporting gardeners and landscapers and taqueros and all these folks is particularly, it's not making anyone safer. It's ruining lives. They are from a country they were born in, whether it's Mexico, Colombia, El Salvador, China, somewhere else. They have that citizenship. Stateless people will not have that. Where do they go?
That's the thing. You can't like, it's like they saw that one movie from 2004, that Tom Hanks movie, The Terminal. And it's all about a man from Eastern Europe. He's stuck in the terminal at JFK in New York, denied entry in the United States, but he can't return to his home country because there was a military coup there. And so he just lives at the airport. I almost feel like they want to round up all these kids and take them to JFK and say, well, you know, you can get a Cinnabon from here and read some magazines, but you can't be in the United States anymore. I know that sounds silly, but so does the whole premise of what they're proposing in court. Does it sound silly? It's worthy of a Hollywood movie that, you know, everybody has long since forgotten.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about babies. Like they can't do anything on their own. They can't decide, like they have zero control or autonomy. They are babies. Like they literally cannot function without parents or other guardians or adults taking care of them. So it's a death sentence in a way to babies. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, this birthright citizenship thing is, we love to hear, you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and all these people love to say, oh, if you don't get this under control, you don't have a country anymore. That's BS. But like, if you're saying people born in the U.S. are not citizens of the U.S., then you don't actually have a country anymore, because you're targeting people born here, guaranteed by the Constitution.
And if we're going to do that, again, it does make me wonder when Melania Trump and when J.D. Vance's wife are going to maybe speak up a little bit more than they have been so far. Let's make the tough transition down to Texas. Courier has a team down there in Texas, thankfully not in harm's way, but having to report on such a difficult story with all of the loss of life from the floods. How is the team doing? How is the story unfolding here?
Yeah, they're hanging in. You know, it's been a devastating tragedy there. Our folks, you know, were mostly based in, you know, Austin, Houston, and Dallas. So no one was like directly impacted in that way. But, you know, one of our staffers has gone to like sleepaway summer camps as a child. Like, and it's devastating. It's a lot of little kids who've died, unfortunately. And I think the thing they were most demoralized by was on, you know, frankly, I hate this phrase, but in this case, it applies on both sides. There was a rush to like really turn this into like a political football and fuel conspiracy theories and point blame while like 6 hours into this. And there is a time to cast political blame. Yes, Texas should do more to fight climate change. Yeah, these local counties should probably get more funding from the state to install better alert systems. Yeah, the Trump administration should do X. But like when hundreds of kids are still missing within a day and, you know, there is a lot of folks online, just the chattering crowd being like, oh, this is a red state. You deserve this for voting red. They're people in Texas rightfully get pissed at that. That's not everyone in that state votes red. Even if you vote red, no one deserves this. No one deserves suffering to see their lives destroyed, maybe their kids swept away, their property destroyed. No one. And whether you're in California or Texas or Wisconsin or Arkansas, I don't care what the politics are. Natural disasters happen everywhere. And there shouldn't be a politicization of it. You know, we should give them aid. We should give the wildfire victims in California who still have gotten no help from the federal government aid. People deserve help in tragedies and not to be treated like a political football.
And I mean, that is the bottom line, is this. I think a lot of this wouldn't be the case if you didn't start seeing several years back, especially after Hurricane Sandy, you know, people in Congress actually voting no on aid to their fellow American as a result of this. So you're right to be upset about it. But I can see how we got to this point, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A lot of the week's news has dealt with the Trump Republican bill that was passed late last week. And throughout the week, we've been passing along, you know, new things that we're discovering in this, like, you know, extending, you know, permanently the tax break on corporate jets and those kinds of things. And so many of the courier outlets are talking to people in their states where, again, this has been a week of discovery and disappointment for a lot of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, this bill is massive. I was putting together a list yesterday of just different things it does, and I stopped at 25 because at a certain point, like, you just don't have time to cover all the bad things. But, you know, it's people on Medicaid, like, are going to lose their health care. Nursing homes are going to close. Rural hospitals are going to close. And, you know, this is there are going to be some people who are like, oh, reporters, the media is being alarmist, Democrats are being alarmist, this isn't going to happen, it's just typical fear-mongering, but it will happen. You have hospitals saying it, you have nursing homes saying it, you have the families of disabled kids on Medicaid saying it. It might not happen for a year or two because a lot of the worst Medicaid cuts don't go into effect till 2027 because they cleverly want to delay them till after the next elections in the midterms, but these things are going to happen. Like, a lot of very smart people have read this bill, have analyzed this bill, work in nursing homes and hospitals. They see the writing on the wall. And it's devastating. Like, our North Carolina reporter interviewed these two parents of children with disabilities who rely on Medicaid for the very expensive treatments they get to stay alive. And, you know, this bill doesn't explicitly target kids on Medicaid, but there's a lot of indirect cuts that could prove life-threatening for these families. And that's awful. The food cuts into SNAP, that's going to put more strain on food banks, which are already struggling with more demand. You know, there is ways in which this bill, it alters the way you can take out student loans to go to medical school. If you are a, like, you know, lower middle class, working class kid growing up in rural Wisconsin, and you want to go to medical school, this caps how much loans you can take out, both per year and for your lifetime. And what that means is essentially only the rich or people who are willing to take out an astonishing amount of private loans, which are usually quite predatory, will go be doctors and lawyers. What does that mean? It means people are not going to get treatment like from doctors. There's going to be a doctor shortage. There's going to be potentially a legal shortage. And the people who do go into it are going to be forced to pursue the most highest paying jobs because they're going to have to pay off even more debt in private loans, which have higher interest rates. There are all sorts of impacts from this bill, and we're going to cover them over the next weeks, months, and years. But, you know, it is one of the worst bills I have ever seen.
You know, despite while we cover it every day, feel like it lasted for a while, it was in the grand scheme of things, you know, rushed. You understood why Donald Trump wanted this rushed by July 4th. He turned it into a symbolic thing, but he knew as more people would find out, they would not like what's in this. And there is so much in it that, yes, it's going to be a months long project just to convey all this, not just what's in it, but as all of this unfolds and starts to harm real Americans. They'll find out the tax breaks that are permanent, like corporate jets, and then they'll look at that no tax on tips and overtime and realize it's only temporary. It gets you through the end of Trump's term, and then, ha, magically, it goes away. So a lot to study. Kiev Akil goes through all the stories that our reporters across the country do for Courier Newsroom, and we appreciate him joining us every week to put it all in perspective. Kia, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
We'll have today's history lesson right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You lay
oh, we're going back to 1973 for the start of today's history lesson. This is country singer Bobby G. Rice. Happy birthday to the native of Boscobel, born this day in 1944. Between 1970 and 1988, Bobby G. Rice released 9 albums, charted 30 songs on the Billboard Country Singles Chart. His biggest hit was this top 5 hit from 1973, You Lay So Easy on My Mind. Happy birthday of sorts to the United States Marine Corps. It was reestablished this day in 1798, having been disbanded 15 years earlier after the Revolutionary War. And one more historical note, there was a duel this day in 1804 in which the Vice President of the United States, Aaron Burr, mortally wounded former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, because as we learned from the musical, everything is legal in New Jersey. Joining us for today's history lesson, as always on Fridays, the one, the only, Gregorian Ilyanovich Bachtober. You know him as Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Good morning, all people.
Tony, right away, jumping right into this. So where's the big old I told you so sign? It's true. If Greg had walked in with a big sign saying I told you so, it would have been the appropriate way to start this off. Look at this energy, Greg. Look at how good I've felt
He's
the past
been
couple of
peppy.
Days. So, this has been very right. peppy.
I love two things, cheap and peppy. Peppy and cheap. Those are two things I love. It's a great movie. Soap dish. Get it in your life. So first of all, I told you, quote unquote, I told you so isn't my style. That's not how I roll in life. That's not how I do things.
Okay.
Two, that makes me so happy.
Aw, thank you.
Let me ask you a question. What was it like the next day? What did you feel like?
For folks just tuning in and think we might be in some weird dark territory, we're talking about a CPAP machine, kids.
Yeah.
Jeez. But we're going to lift that tape and find other ways to use it. The first morning after the CPAP machine, using it, yeah. I thought I'd be struggling. I thought I'd feel claustrophobic. I'd grouchy from not getting enough sleep. I felt like a new person. Like I'd finally gotten, I was able to breathe, yep. And I felt like $1 million, and yeah. have felt good the next 2 mornings since then. It's been amazing, and I am deeply grateful that you are my personal trailblazer toward a life of CPAP.
I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you too, because a lot of people don't take those steps. They just don't, mm-hmm. for various reasons. And they're their reasons. So, I hope people listening who have been thinking about it, who have been having problems sleeping, really, take in the information we've been giving them for the past few months, because it really is life changing. I cannot stress that enough. Yeah. And I'm so happy that that's how you're feeling. And it's only going to get better with every time you use it. And I'm not casting a downer at any moment, but like in the time I've been doing it, there have been a couple nights where I have like fallen asleep and just not put it on. you do feel it the next day. There is whatever, but it's just going to get better and better and better and better. And yeah, that energy, that life, maybe one less cup of coffee in the morning because you just don't actually need it. You're just, you know, trying to, you're not struggling. It's great. And I'm so excited for you.
That's great. Thank you again. And Parker, of course, is over here. He's not even a coffee drinker to begin with, much less having to deal with middle-aged problems.
This is the conversation that is aimed the least at my demographic of all time.
you are not the target demographic. Yes.
No, I mean, honestly, buddy, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's not true. CPAP doesn't know age. It doesn't know height. It doesn't know weight. It affects you because it's how your body's designed.
It just knows the shape of your face.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing too. If you're younger and you're listening to this, well, congratulations, listening to radio. But also,
you're up on.
But it might not be like what you think. Go get a test. Go get tested. Find out what's going on. Because it's life-saving.
On the text line, Matt in Germantown, CPAPs are great. Used to use one all the time. Then finally was able to lose enough weight, and that solved the problem. Although I would add, one of the things I learned is that's not necessarily true for everybody. Mm-hmm. But when I needed it, it was amazing. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got another history note from the comment section, but we should keep the music rolling here. So let me tell you another birthday. Jeff Hanna, lead singer of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, is 78 today.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you.
There you go. Let's see. From Tony, where is it? Oh, here it is. Of course, it's July 11th. He says, it's National 7-Eleven Day. Everyone got their Slurpees?
Oh, baby.
And yes, 7-Eleven, they have their Slurpee special like they do every year this day.
I've never
7-Eleven.
Had a Slurpee in my life.
I had a school bus stop in St. Paul that was on a corner with a 7-Eleven.
Oh.
And yeah, so also, I had a lot of cavities back in the day.
I also feel like if you lived in Wisconsin, 7-Elevens are not, it's not really prevalent at all. But it also, I feel like for a long time, they just didn't exist here.
No, they didn't. I mean, they're national, but that doesn't mean everywhere. And so, yeah, we had them in that particular place. But now, of course, we're here in the land of Quick Trip, where there are no Slurpees. One more quick birthday here. Suzanne Vega is 66 years old today. There. Now we've got that in the background to tell you that this is also National French Fries Day, it's National Motorcycle Day, and it's National Kebab Day. You may say kebab, but some of us who saw Flight of the Conchords will never forget that song, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, with the lyrics, I draw you near, let's get out of here, let's get in a cab, I'll buy you a kebab. I can't believe I'm sharing a kebab with the most beautiful girl I've ever seen with a kebab.
Most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, Parker, watch
Flight of the Conchords. Add it to the list. Greg Bach, thanks for checking in. Thanks for the treatment, the encouragement, and we'll catch you on Jane's show. And then on the road next week, big trip coming up.
That's right. We're going to be all over Wisconsin. We'll talk more about it on the show coming up, but we're going all over the north of Wisconsin with Todd Albaugh.
That's fantastic. So stay tuned for Jane and Greg following this show. And, of course, more here on our mornings powered by Up North News next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.